In this week, in 2024, the Super Wombles smashed the franchise 3-0 with goals from Hippolyte and two from Maycock. When the world gives you lemons, exchange them for Maycock and smash the franchise. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
Might not be life or death, my friend, but to me, it's more important than that.
Welcome, dear listener. Today I am joined by mon frère, Niall Cooper, and hopefully we'll have a couple of other people joining us along the way. All right, then, Niall.
Yeah, Matt, I'm kind of still in a little bit of buzzingness that goes on following Saturday's moments of glory. So yeah, it was great. Lovely, lovely buzz, lovely day. What more can be said about smashing the franchise
It
3-0?
was, I tell you the one thing for me, which I thought was quite interesting was, and I have this for every single game we play them, it's the jeopardy. The jeopardy is always the problem. I talked a little bit about this on the podcast last week. The jeopardy is the thing, and that's the thing with football, genuinely. But that whole thought of, I don't know what the result is, and so it's that nervousness, and losing to them is the worst thing. And actually, I was watching my daughter play football on Sunday, talking to someone about the Arsenal Tottenham match. I'm an Arsenal fan, and again, he was feeling that same way of like that. I mean, I don't think he got the intensity that we have, but still, that same sense of jeopardy of like sometimes not wanting to watch the match, or at least not wanting to be without your own kind. So to be at the match, surrounded by Wimbledon fans. And then to just do what we did was brilliant. That was just such an amazing moment. And then we had to hold back, didn't we? So a lot of the second half, they had a lot of possession, but didn't do anything with it. And then to get two goals on the counter attack. And for those who don't know, we often do our presentations at the end of the year, and we have sub of the year. It's one of our categories. And I think Maycock's already smashed it anyway in September.
Think he may well have done. So, I mean, the one thing, you can pick out loads of moments of it all, and it was glorious with the kind of even the little bit of flair going off in the corner. And I turned to Toolmark, who was sitting next to me, and I said, like, can't remember when I last saw anyone ever score from indirect free kick. Those sort of things are things that you nice to get shoved down your throat and told, whatever. That was great. And then obviously those two goals right at the end, I loved Kelly's particular stunning dummy to make sure that Maycock had the chance to score. I mean, I think it's really important to completely miss kick it about 10 yards out, but it worked a treat. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. I was interviewed by French TV beforehand, and they asked me to describe AFC Wimbledon and the franchise in a couple of words, and I said, "We are the resurrection, we are the light," which I think is one of our best flags. And then they asked me to talk about the other lot, and I just said, "Who are they?" And I walked away. And for
Yeah.
me, that was what it is all about, isn't it? I mean, they are. And I saw this quote, and it was, "Oh God, I'm going to quote the Daily Mail. What the hell am I doing?" They are now an irrelevance. Let's just put it that way. They are irrelevant. We were, and I loved singing it, top of the league. And that was great, man, for those couple of hours. And we've got that games in hand. And we're a side on form. I cannot recall the last time we've won seven games out of eight. And that's pretty good. Although it does, stick in my throat about the team we lost to, as we all know my views on that team. But other than that, oh mate, it was glorious for all those fans, and I love seeing all the tweets from all the ex-Wombles players all saying, get in and all that sort of stuff. That was pretty cool.
I thought the when you say it was irrelevant, you're talking about the franchise, or are you talking about the Daily Mail? I can't remember which what you're saying. Or is it both? Which is
And a very good point, and I think, now that you've mentioned it, let's just say both. And
yeah.
then we're playing safe. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I mean, it was special. I mean, I love getting that. I love all the tweets afterwards. I mean, Akinfenwa, and Ronan Curtis, who is the current holder of Sub of the Year, they put up a post as well. It was fantastic. And there was, I mean, also there were some great moments during and after the match where Harbottle has literally squeezed Lemon's head as he's going off, which I thought was there's some funny moments, and there's some the match uncovered is fantastic. So if you get a chance, you've got to watch that. That was just absolutely amazing. But I want to go back to this one point now, because we've talked about it loads. You wouldn't have gone to the match, and I wouldn't have gone to the match if it wasn't for our daughters. I mean, my daughter Tabitha, she loves it. She loves that whole, getting along to the match. She loves the atmosphere. But I wouldn't have gone otherwise. And we've obviously got a couple of people, three people who sit with us usually, who just won't go to that match. And certainly I would never, ever go up to there. I would never go to the away game. So it does cause some issues. I mean, it was great that it was so packed, and it was so the atmosphere was just amazing. I love the fact there was a guy with a dog in the crowd. The dog was going crazy. It was just sensational.
Yeah, and I totally get that. I mean, look, it's really rare that I go and watch that game. I am one of those people that would normally boycott it because I just refuse to, acknowledge their existence. And that, and I went because, my eldest child is about to go to university, and this was going to be one of her last chances to watch the Mighty Wombles. And so she chose to go along, and brought one of her friends to her first ever AFC Wimbledon game, which I thought was pretty cool. And it's difficult, isn't it? Because had we lost, it would have been horrible, and I would have hated every single passion, every single moment of it. But the reality is that we tanked them 3-0, and that means a lot. And I just think, you go back, you just think what it means to us. And I even read somewhere else that, like, we were the favourites to win that game, and we haven't. I think that's pretty unusual that we are, and it just shows the direction of travel of where we're at as a club. And there's a nice little buzz about Plough Lane at the moment, isn't there?
There is a lovely little buzz about Plough Lane at the moment. You've got to say, tactically, I think there was a situation where Reeves has gone off, which
Which obviously he's not allowed to do, as that's
no,
clearly
and
wrong.
it did cause a problem because we weren't holding on to the ball, and that was where they had the most amount of pressure. But having said that, I think he had a choice at that moment to put on Ball, who was more of a defensive player, or Maycock. And at that time, I mean, Ball did come on eventually, but Maycock came on, and we asked if we are going to go for it, and that was the thing. So I just wonder if JJ noticed that they're going to keep pressure on, and there were gaps behind, and at least once, if not twice beforehand, there was a couple of chances for us to score that second goal, and so when it happened, that was great. And then obviously, you had the third goal which came in, which was just absolutely amazing. So it was a fantastic match. It was great for us. It was great to see. Wonderful atmosphere going on there. And I'm delighted now at this point, I could bring in our special guest, Anne Marie. How are you?
I am very well. You won't be calling me a special guest when you realise I wasn't at the game on Saturday. So I feel like you're going to instantly hang up on me for
Yeah,
that.
we were
Sorry,
just
fire.
talking. Anne-Marie, we were literally just saying that me and Matt normally would boycott the game, but because we've
Right.
got little children that said this is the game that they most want to go to, that we both
Okay.
went to. And it's only because we've been dragged by our daughters to the game that we went. And
Oh, sure.
obviously, Anne-Marie, as we were talking before you joined us, it was a bit of a damp squib. Wasn't really that interesting, whatever. Didn't really mean much. atmosphere is a bit bobbins. That was basically it. Or maybe that wasn't the case. I don't know, Anne Marie. It's a hard one to remember.
Can
Maybe
I
if you read a
ask
bit of
you?
Facebook or Twitter feeds, you might get a sense about, how much it was a really rubbish atmosphere. I don't know if you felt sense of that.
I heard it was not much in it. Quite
Yeah.
a nice breeze through, really. Not a
Yeah.
lot to report. I didn't
No,
have
nothing much.
any FOMO or jealousy at all. But yes.
So where were you? So you can redeem yourself by saying it was you deliberately had this thing where you don't go and watch the franchise games, but I have a feeling it might have been something else.
Yeah, so I've always gone to the home game, never gone to their place. I'm not gonna call it a stadium. Yeah, never gone to theirs. It was my parents' 40th wedding anniversary. I know, and my dear father tried to work out the times whether he could get to the game, seeing it was a 12:30 kickoff. To which my mother very quickly told him, "It'll be your last wedding anniversary if you miss this."
Wow, what a great
You know what,
story.
Ollie?
What a great way to end a wedding, though, end a
Yeah, I
marriage,
know.
you know.
Club first, always. But there were quite a few fans that had joined after the game, so it felt like we had the atmosphere there by the evening. And a fair amount of the Phoenix beer made its way to the party down in Winchester. So no, we're fantastic. But it sounds a bit like you say, the feedback and the things I've seen just look wonderful. And actually, I think my favourite feedback from those who've watched it essentially said that we kind of at times didn't really look particularly like we deserved a 3-0 win, and that almost made it a bit sweeter.
They had a lot of pressure in the second half, but without doing anything. I mean, like they hit the post, but really that they didn't have much at all. So we kind of like controlled them, and then it almost got to a point of us going, "Is that all you've got?" And then we just went, "Okay, well, if that's all you've got, we might as well score a couple of goals on the break."
Yeah, hammer blow,
Yeah,
exactly. No, lovely stuff.
it was fantastic. And I mean, it's very weird to compare that to the last minute winner, because I think there were different games, and for that to be the first time to win at Plough Lane, to beat them at Plough Lane, and to do it in such dramatic fashion, whereas this really felt it was, there was a point in it where you could just sit back and enjoy it, just go, this is. It was fantastic, and the atmosphere was brilliant. And so
I
wonderful.
think
I
you
mean,
know.
all of them were players of the match. It was great. But I'd like to say, Josh Neuville is just endearing me every time I watch him play now. He's fantastic, and he's giving it to the opposition customers.
He
That's what
gets
they are,
it.
yeah.
Yeah.
And I
Did he have
love
the
that. Don't
Queen
you just
flag
love
above
that
his head
sort of?
this time? Sorry.
I love that atmosphere of, like, when you see one of our players that really kind of just get it. And I think, the whole history of our club, the whole way we've been set up, just gets that. It's a little bit deeper and a little bit more meaningful. And God, it was sweet, Anne Marie. I'll be honest, it really was sweet. It was lovely. I mean, I missed the last minute one because I was a stubborn ass and I normally don't go to these games. But this one, it was really nice to be there, and it was. Matt saying it was comfortable. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like, they had the ball for a lot of the time, but it was like, yeah, whatever. The classic South London drawl, whatever. It was just like, it was great. It was really good. And I'm just, I was talking about it earlier on, so I can't remember a better start for us for a very long time. And we've got to be going back to CCL days, or maybe. I'm not even sure if we ever had 7 wins out of eight in the Conference South, but it's been a long time since we've been able to do this. Which gets me, and also, are we looking at one of the best AFC Wimbledon teams of all time? That's it.
Oh.
Talking of the since 2002, have we got is JJ pulled together one of the best teams? That's what I'm really interested about.
Well, I have my sense is that we're a fickle lot, us football fans. So right now it feels like it, Let's see where we are at Christmas, and the hope is that we're not giving players back. So I understand that obviously a couple of Smith and a Piggott, I understand, are on season long loans with no recall options. So that's great. The guy from Hull, the left back from Hull, I think he has got one. Goodman, obviously, that would be nerve wracking because he's actually, I think he's coming into his own as a keeper. So he's and he did
He's a
brilliantly. And
confidence
again,
goalkeeper,
he's got
man.
that real, he's got a presence and
That's it.
a reaction to the fans, which is really exciting now.
You can see that he's relaxing more into it, can't you? And obviously, that performance in the cup game, well, he said it was the biggest game of his career so far, and I'm so pleased because obviously, understandably, he's a really young lad and really big, boots to fill. And he did look nervy, and he makes mistakes. We all make mistakes. All the players are human, believe it or not. But he's certainly looking like he's had the Bezo magic touch for sure. But you're right, though. It's just about the consistency. Making sure we can keep up the momentum. It's a wonderful start. I certainly feel a lot more relaxed now that we've got this solid start in terms of the season ahead. Anything extra that happens at the end of the season is a lovely bonus, but. I think most importantly, it's quite fun football to watch as well. Obviously, it's always wonderful to watch us beat franchise, but just generally, I'm enjoying watching the football and it's nice. And the players themselves just seem more relaxed. I kind of feel that, if you look at this game, at these games at the start of the season, maybe 12 to 18 months ago, we potentially bottle them, or we certainly don't breeze them. Or no, you can't really relax into the game and watch it. Whereas now, what you yes, we're kind of quietly confident.
I think it was very interesting after the first, I think it was 20 minutes into the game against Colchester where we're 2-0 down. There's a guy shouting out from the stand, "Sort it out, Jackson." Well, I think he's heard. Do you know what
Was
I
that
wasn't going to
my
say
dad?
anything.
Literally. It was literally just like just to the right of us, wasn't it, man? It was very, very, very loud, and then we kind of, it's been a kind of catchphrase for us now, but we use it on the same old one
Sort
balls
out,
and that.
Sort out,
Sort it
Jackson.
out, Jackson.
And have you been watching the match down covered? Have you gone back and watched the match down covered thing about the which shows the game and all the background stuff?
Literally, you, my poor wife, you name it, any blogs, interviews, anything after this game in particular, I was sat at YouTube on the TV watching it on repeat. Thing. Just anything to try and just soak up as much of the atmosphere as I could. I thought Miles' interview was brilliant after the game. I thought he spoke really, really well. And again, as another player, I was a bit worried, a bit of a jittery start, but he's coming into his own. I think he's going to be a top signing for us.
Oh, totally. I just think everyone needs to be given the directive of not calling it a derby. That's the only query. That's the only thing that I have. People keep saying derby. It's just
I know. I try not to be that person, try not to be too highly strung, but there was a couple of, oh, we understand the rivalry, and I was like, oh, but they get it.
Oh
They
no,
clearly get it. They
wrong.
clearly get how
Rivalry's
it's
wrong.
connected to us.
Just call it what it is, like complete hatred. That's just, let's be honest. It's not really rivalry.
The same,
I mean,
what are we talking about?
we're same old Wombles, these old guys, and we just get angry and picky at all sorts of things these days, and it's just our way of being. But I thought that it was great work by Chris Thorpe and it's McCraw Media who do the match down cover thing, which I just thought was fantastic. And I've had it like you, I've had it on a loop. So
Perfect.
I know this evening when everyone's in bed, I'll be back downstairs watching it again.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's lovely. Can I ask one question though? Like, we talked about Goodman and we talked about other, goalkeepers going back. How is Bezo still with us? Because I mean, he's got a bit of a magic touch. I mean, I'm assuming the guy must be like a real passionate Wimbledon fan. And I honestly don't know, but I mean, like he's just turned repeatedly, goalkeepers into legends. I mean, like, I can see him improving Goodman, and you think about all the other goalkeepers we've had over the years. I mean, every single one of them has stepped up, and it takes a a bit special person to be able to do that, really.
You're right.
Completely
And they've
agree.
all gone, haven't they? Loads of these young, we had loads of these young keepers that have gone on before they've even got into our team.
Yeah, you look at that. The track record's unbelievable. I don't know the answer as to how we've kept him. I mean, he does love the club. He clearly loves the club. He seems to be exceptionally happy. And from what everyone says, he travels quite a long way in at something like crazy, like 5 a.m. on the train, and he just absolutely loves it. It brings that energy and all these wonderful things about the Bezo effect. But how we've kept him from a kind of, coaching football perspective, I have no idea. That track record of, even from like Joe Bersick, Spike Britt, what he did for Ramsdale, it's just insane when you really list them all out. And I'm sure I'm missing some other big names within that. I'm trying to think how far back we went. We're talking George Long as well. These people have had fantastic careers. Don't know,
Well,
but they seem to love the training. You see the training; they just love training with them. They're happy people. They're enjoying their sport as well.
if it's not the money, we must have something on him. That's the only thing I can imagine. There's
Yeah,
some,
exactly. That's it. What
yeah.
happened on the
The one
pre-season
thing I must stress to anybody who's listening into this podcast, that we don't actually mean it. Bezos, in fact, shit and crap.
tour?
Don't bother pinching him. You know,
Not
he's no good at all.
it's
He,
not worth
he,
it, really,
he's
to be honest
rubbish.
with
If
you.
you want to sign anyone with a Wimbledon connection, there's this guy called Lemon, which you can have, and that's basically it, as far as I'm concerned.
Because we now know with Lemon that apparently he was in the building. So he was in the building ready to sign, and then he went up to franchise. And it's just like, wow. If only there was a German word for what's happened to him. Schönbrunn. Yeah. So yeah, he got lots of stick, and rightly so. Yeah. Anyhow, that is the game. And I don't know if anyone was tuning in or been paying attention, because the next thing we've got to chat about is the resolutions. And it's quite interesting to have you both here, because I know you were both on the DTB at the same time. For those who weren't there, the situation was that you had the DTB, the Dons Trust Board, sitting up on the main stage, and the people doing the presentations, people giving the resolutions, were on another table. So they weren't on the main stage, which drew attention obviously to the DTB. And it did get to a point where I just felt that they were being attacked. I know Kevin Rye, God bless him, in the middle of it all, was having to sort of like referee at some points some of the stuff that was going on. Now, I didn't say it got completely out of hand, although for a meeting to last over 3 hours to discuss five resolutions was a bit tricky. But I looked at that, and I've often thought about myself sometimes standing, and I know Adam has stood a couple of times. I can't imagine standing. I just the vitriol sometimes, and I thought the secretary who was speaking, I thought she did a great job at clarifying some of the points. But wow, it felt, I mean, sometimes I don't understand how I stand. And Anne-Marie, particularly with you, what was, because you were on the board, how did it feel?
It's really tricky, because I don't want to, and I never would want to put somebody off
Yeah.
going for it. And I appreciate the circumstances around the time frame I was there. It was just under a year, or just about a year. Foot on the pitch was a completely different situation. And the immense pressure the club were under. It was the season, unfortunately, we got relegated, and the preceding months were pretty miserable. And there were a lot more uncertainty, and it does kind of go to show that, as things are, a much more kind of, like we were saying before, more confident, relaxed state on the pitch, it does exude throughout the club. So I expect, anybody looking to, apply in future, I wouldn't want anyone to be put off by that, because ultimately, that is, it's everyone's experience is going to be so different. And for me, unfortunately, there was, there were challenges when I joined the board, and certainly in terms that I got a fair amount of online abuse. which I found really, really tough at the time, and actually affected me kind of more than I was anticipating, I think. You know, I kind of knew there would be an element of it because that's the unfortunate way of the world. There's, you know, cruel things happen in life, and different sort of, you know, barriers and things, and that's the way it is, and we're all working together to try and overcome them, etc. The board members themselves were exemplary and amazing, and I'm all still in touch with everyone. They were fantastic. But I would say that it kind of, I suppose, is more tough for everybody on the board because we're all diehard Wimbledon fans and we all love the club and we're all passionate. We also they're doing it and giving up your time and volunteering time because you want things to go well, and you're so invested in it. It isn't, you know, like any other sort of work organisation. It's completely different. So if there is any criticism on whatever level, it's obviously completely aside from the personal online abuse I was getting, but criticism of decisions being made. It's tough because then you are end up having to. I think at the time, I appreciate my understanding now of kind of how it works. It's slightly less kind of hands-on with the business kind of sort of involvements and decisions we were maybe a little bit more tied into then than maybe it is now. I might be wrong. And so, yeah, it's a lot emotionally invested in it. Equally, it's a beautiful thing to be involved with and try and have that. Your say and positive influence on decisions being made about the club you love to try and help it progress. So it's just a delicate balance. But you know, certainly when the club, you know, on the pitch is in a better position, I can imagine that, you know, people generally are more open to ideas. There's more enthusiasm. There's a lot more, a little bit more certainty. But I didn't go last night. I have sort of heard, you know, bits and pieces of feedback. I'm sorry to hear that it, you know, sounded like there was some challenging moments. I'm not surprised. People are passionate. That's how we got to where we are. It's how we got the stadium we've got, and it's how we got into League One and into the Football League because of that passion. And you know, it isn't it, I think I have to remind myself it isn't personal to those individuals. It's just hopefully not most of the time. But people have different opinions, and football sometimes, you know, brings that out in people. And our club is unique in that aspect.
I'm sorry you had to go through that, and thanks for being so open here. I mean, like you say, I don't think, and our job isn't, we don't want to put people off standing for the
Yeah,
detour,
I don't want to at all, no.
and I think that there's a lot of people you just have to understand. And I think what's difficult, you have to understand the how much time people put into it and how much energy. And I think sometimes when people are talking about decisions, those people on the DTB, and I know Niall obviously and yourself, would be a lot closer to understanding the complexity of some decisions. So when, you know, we voted for you guys, so when you're making a decision and putting recommendations to us, my sense a lot of times is that you've understood that and you've had some of those conversations already.
There's that level of trust, isn't there? Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the only thing that we were suggesting as the same old Wombles was that maybe when the board put a recommendation through, they say on what percentage or what number of people on the board voted for that and what people voted against it. So, for example, you might have a resolution that's put forward where five of the board have voted for it and four have voted against it. So at that point, if you say the board recommends this 5-4 in favour, then the membership can then go, okay, well, we need to do a little bit of research into it because it was very close. But a lot of times, I'm guessing they were unanimous, which is fine.
That wasn't always the case, definitely on the DTB when me and Anne Marie were serving. There were
No.
lots of times where it was quite split. I'd say, to be honest, just to Anne Marie's detriment, and she'll probably get social and media views on the back of it. Most of the time, me and Anne Marie were voting the same way.
Oh no. No, what have you
Sorry,
done?
Anne Marie, I shouldn't have said that. I'm really sorry. I apologize.
Same old woke wombles now.
That was the name of the podcast originally.
So, I mean, that was a bit of the case. I mean, I look back on the meeting as well, and I think there is still a really big issue about how do you create a meeting that doesn't last 3.5 hours, that is a bit more engaging and doesn't feels a bit less like them and us. I've had a couple of conversations with a few people who are on the board, and I think there's a need to readdress how meetings operate and look at how you get more people involved, because I still always look at our ground and think, well, actually, we've got, like on Saturday, 7,000 people sitting in that ground, each which has an individual skill set that actually could be used to help push our club on even further. And they should look at it as being like a real big opportunity to make their club even better than it is and get involved. And that's one thing I think that we need to look at, feeling a bit more inclusive. And at times there is that kind of gap that feels that exists. And I'm always a bit nervous about where the PLC are and the rest of the DTB. And I think we need to kind of get that sense of let's all, chip in and do a little bit more, because that will make us really good. I mean, I liked when we were on the board, we were trying to push for the idea of Dons Makers, which is the kind of volunteer pool of getting all the expertise in. And that's one thing that I kind of regret, that we never really got fully off the ground. We tried, but it didn't really fully happen. Because I think that's the bit where you kind of got all these skills that we could just do so much more. I mean, even if it's just marketing around the local area or reaching out to, different communities and stuff like that, which I think the club does well now. Those sort of things we could just take to another level. Such a fantastic fan base. I think we don't use it enough. And the meeting last night or the night before was a little bit dull and
Well, it's
confrontational.
not, it's I think it all goes, I think the biggest problem is it's time. So that the DTB are trying to do loads of different things, and it's the time to do them all. So the biggest thing that came out of the meeting last night was a need for an updated constitution. My sense is that it's been talked about various points during the lifespan of the DTB of updating the constitution so it's more relevant to today. And I'm sure now that is going to be the one thing that happens. For me, it felt like those were the big takeaway was a new constitution, a decision to decisions to be taken by poll rather than a show of hands now. So it looks like there's going to be the poll, and a poll would happen after all the debates have been heard, and people can then maybe listen back to some of the discussions. So it would be polls rather than a taken by hand. It really feels like there needs to be to defer the discussion on the 15.01, because it feels like the meeting last night was very much about trying to put things in place so that 15.01 could be talked about, and it feels like we're in a nervous position to be chatting about that when certain other bits of the organisation are not properly in place. But on the plus point, I thought the secretary was very clear, clarified a lot of points, and obviously the most important thing of the whole meeting was the fact that the same old Wombles podcast was referenced twice. So, on that sense, we're pretty much a success.
How much did you pay for
Well, don't discuss payments, to be honest, Emery.
that? So just to stress that the Same Old Wombles is officially the most popular podcast amongst Don's Trust members, clearly, and also
Oh,
the
that's not a good thing.
biggest Wimbledon podcast on Fred's.
Yeah.
So that makes us clearly among the biggest, without our huge following there that dwarfs all other podcasts.
It does. We've got 14 whole followers on Threads, and the reason we're the biggest one is no one else is on it. So that's. But Amory, I don't know what your takeaway is on things like the Constitution and this, coming up to doing the 15.01, debate.
I'm not adverse to, having a refreshed constitution. I think, given that there's obviously so much going on, and some really big topics being discussed that are causing a lot of angst and uncertainty. So I don't think that it's necessarily the worst time to be just sort of stopping and reviewing. And but equally on the flip side, I don't know. It's if it's working well, I don't know. I think I'm slightly more on kind of that practical mind, like Niall was saying. You know, there's kind of other work streams and tasks which I kind of feel like off the board focus could be doing, you know, across, you know, like you're saying about the skills gaps, all these sort of, you know, wonderful things that we could be having that focus on. I think it's, yeah, it's hard to tell, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think it felt last night, I confess I dipped in and I dipped in and out of it online. I know Adam was there the whole time. And there was lots of messages on WhatsApp, but
Right.
it felt like the reason certain things couldn't happen was because the constitution
And that's, and this is what I
didn't
mean,
allow
exactly.
those things to happen.
And potentially, you know, as a result of that, are things, important things, you know, on hold until it is.
Yeah.
So maybe you know, it's just a bit of a sitting duck, really. We just need to.
Yeah, and I think
Niall's got a new member of the same on
yeah.
one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We've got the cat thing now because we realize that's how we get our social media followers is by having
Nice.
cats as part of it. It's a pity this isn't videoed, otherwise we'd be right
This
up
is
there in our cat membership.
not a Wumble, but it's the same old cat. So
Oh.
there you go. And for our listeners, they can try and guess the name of the cat, and it's not a Wimbledon related name, but there you go.
But I think the it's
She's currently
it, we're back from the
for the
cat
benefit of our
references.
listeners, she's currently looking at a Vinnie Jones signed shirt, but there you go.
Yes.
Upset.
I think it's it is these are difficult times. I mean, this 50.01, and I'm also wondering where the pressure comes from because I'm not 100% convinced that the DTB really want this to it's real it really wants this to pass. It feels like this is a PLC thing. And again, so that is another one of my con that's another one of our concerns is, you know, what is the relationship between the DTB and the PLC? Because it feels quite fragmented at the moment, and there feels like there's a lot of pressure on put on the DTB by the PLC.
It certainly feels like, and is coming across like that from the outside in, isn't it? From, yeah, and I know, you know, obviously, from having that sort of short snapshot on how things, you know, work on the inside and how much, you know, there's obviously immense amount going on behind the scenes that people aren't necessarily aware of. It's not appropriate or to be sharing because, you know, potentially there's,
Yeah.
you know, various sort of vested interests, and that totally makes sense, and people are very understanding of that generally. I think again, it could all again be linked to right back to, you know, what's going on the pitch. This is why these conversations are coming up, because suddenly we're doing well on the pitch. There's this bit more confidence in where we could suddenly go, and there's this enthusiasm and excitement, and that's a, you know, a wonderful thing to feel that positive. But I certainly think, from my point of view, from the outside in, that that's possibly the case, that the pressure's then coming from the PLC. Okay, well, what's the next step? Where do we go with this next?
Yeah.
That's just, you know, my sort of take on it, really.
My
And
view
that's
on it
right.
has always been that if you're investing in a football club, then the question has to be why are you investing in a football club,
Exactly.
right?
Yeah.
And if you're investing in Wimbledon, then why are you investing in Wimbledon? And my big concern about it is ultimately you're going to want to control. Why would you put money in if you don't want control? And if as the people who advocate for 50 plus one go, right, well, actually, you know, it's going to make no difference. It's just about having the opportunity to get more investment in the club. If it means they're not actually going to get any more control and they're not going to, you know, it's not going to really affect how the club operates, which actually I've got, as people have regular listeners to the to our regular listener to this podcast will know that I frequently question that because I think it does make a significant difference in terms of company law. But if it isn't, then why are there not a whole load of people flocking to invest into us to take us down to 75%? Because we're not at 75% at the moment. We still own significantly more than that. And that's actually available assets right now. So I don't get the argument. I have issues about it going below 75% because of company law. So I do not see any reason why we should go lower than that when we've not got this big queue of investors coming in to buy it, take us down to 75%. So for me, this is one that should be kicked into long grass and disappear off, because
Well,
as
I
a
think
club, we thrive and are seen globally for what we are, which is a fan, one of the most successful fan-run clubs on the planet. And that's what we really should be pushing for, because that's what gets people wanting to be connected with us. That's why it's great when John Green always, sends his tweets, and he's always going, "Look, that's my logo on the back of the shorts," right? And I know he mentions it all the time. But that for me is like that connection. That's what people want. They want to be connected with what is one of the best stories in football, and particularly after Saturday's pretty damn good story in football as well.
I think the big issue is the paying back of the debt is the big issue to bondholders. And I think the first lot has been agreed, but there's a second tranche of payment coming up, which is about £3 million, and it's where that money comes from. Now, the fact that it's friendly debt and the fact that people can be talked about, can be talked to, and asking if the debt can be. If they don't want to take their money back just yet, and it can be rolled on to a future year, I think is something. But the big issue, and this is where the PLC are worried about, I think, and probably the DT, people on the DTB as well, is paying back the bonds next year, and that's why they want to put this 50.01 thing in place sooner, so that if we do need to do something, we've got a policy in place that we've all agreed on.
Where I
That's
just get so
the reason why.
I get so cross on this, because it's just like, right, do you know, if you want to put your any I'm mad about this as well. If you want to put your energy into the most effective way of getting more money for the club, go and lobby the football regulator, go and lobby the football authorities. It's going through government right now, right? That is our best chance to raise significant funds that will help us in the long term, right? Easily, because we're talking multi-millions are on the table if we lobby and we get all our fan base to do exactly that. That is where the money is, far more than this non-existent queue of people trying to invest in our club, right? Football's finances is a mess in terms of its financial flow. That's where the PLC, if they'd half a brain, and I know some people in the PLC, so that's really cool. So apart from the one person I know who has that half a brain, if the rest of them could actually wake up a bit and realize, let's get our energy behind doing that, because that's where we're going to get more money into our club than for anything else. And I just get so frustrated, because it's not a difficult solution, really, it isn't.
Amir, I don't know what you think.
I think Niall knows what I think, in terms of this side of things. I can't wait. I think I feel pretty confident that, we will get there with the independent regulator. It's needed more than ever. And Niall's been done an unbelievable amount of work on this for a long time now, and hopefully we'll see the fruits of his labour. It's just clearly the most sensible, sustainable long-term option. It's just hopefully we're hearing that there's a few sort of little blips in the road, but we know football as a sport has overcome worse, so
Yeah,
we'll get there
exactly.
and
Well, I mean, I think
get better shape
my
for it.
sense is it wouldn't happen anyhow. My sense is people are not going to vote for it. So, yeah,
Matt,
and
you're talking
mainly
about the
because
50 plus
there
one,
isn't
aren't
a
you?
list of people there isn't a list of people coming to us wanting to invest. It's not like we've got a queue of people wanting to invest anyhow. I think it would be a different thing if the DTB or the PLC or whoever came and said, we've got these people who want to invest, but that doesn't
Been down
exist.
that route before. So I don't know if you remember, that's why the two ticks on it. And what I would say that one of the great that group of four, which was, I think, Charlie, Damien, Zav, and Graham were involved, who actually made sure that we didn't sell out at that time. And that's back in 2000, 2020. I think in the history books of AFC Wimbledon, that quartet should be really praised to the rafters, because they put an awful lot of work to make sure that we didn't lose our club, because we were right on the edge of doing that. And that they did a Herculean job. So I will always have praise and credit for that quartet.
Brilliant. Well, listen, gang, thank you very much. I think we've Kind of a lot of stuff there. I think we've sorted out the world yet again. Just leave it to us. New constitution, defer the 15.01, and it's all going to be fine. And get the football regulator sorted. And keep beating the franchise. So I think the advice for this evening really is, once you've stopped listening to this, listeners, to get back on. Watch the match down covered, like have it on repeat, get in all those highlights, and remember what we're all about. We are, as I always say, the same old Wombles, and we're back.